Hello, hello. Sportsbook Box Office Podcast back, yes. Sorry, after a week or two hiatus. Jeffrey Paul, good to see you again, buddy. How are you?
Good to be seen. How is everybody?
Good. Well, guess what, folks? We asked, and she has come back from the depths of South fucking Jersey.
And the Hamptons.
Oh, the Hampty Hams. That's right. I did see you check in there. Everyone's favorite producer, Amory Castillo. How are you, honey?
Hey. I'm great. I'm a little tired, but happy to be here. I rushed here just because I wanted to see you guys.
That is a compliment of compliments, Jeffrey Paul. You hear that?
I'm excited.
She wanted to come see her boys.
Yes.
You're looking at three people who are right now in a comics fantasy football league, which takes place 1 week from tonight.
Only girl in the league.
Yeah. Only one I dare say that I know that's capable of fielding a team. Mm-hmm. Competitively. Tracy Jane knows her shit, but I don't know if she knows enough about fantasy.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about you. I think you're definitely going to be...
I don't look at her as a girl. I look at her as competition.
A part-time bro?
So that we have that,
bro. Yeah,
we have that going on next week.
Can't wait.
We got a lot to talk about, Jeffrey Paul.
We do.
What are we going to go first?
Well, what we also have to talk about first is that we are sponsored by...
Oh, yes. Please do.
Uptown.
Wow.
Yes, we are sponsored by Uptown Linden Corporation, okay, where every Saturday in Linden, New Jersey, they do this great farmer's market. It runs from 10 to 2, so people should come out and check that out. They also do free music every Tuesday night, free comedy on the stars every Thursday night, and on Friday and Saturday night, music, magic shows. So there's a lot going on in Linden. Check out UptownLinden.com.
And I think sponsorship,
people have,
guys.
I think people will have a good time. But check out that farmer's market. That's a fun thing.
Comedy show is pretty goddamn special, too, though. Let's not sell that short. Who do you have this week on the show, Jeff?
It's a good show this week. Rich Voss.
Oh, wow.
Oh, good one.
Jersey's own.
Rich Voss headlining. Darren Rosen. Is it Rosenblatt?
Sounds Jewish.
I'm drawing a brain fart here, but he's featuring Missy Elliott doing the guest spot and Stacey Kendrow hosting.
Oh, Kendrow.
I like Stacey.
A chick from Boston with balls, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's good.
She's a broad.
Yeah.
A broad.
She's a tough broad.
She is.
She takes no guff.
No, she no guff.
That's what she does.
She does not. We got baseball to talk about, Jeffrey Paul. It's been an interesting run in the last few weeks here. First of all, Bryce Harper sliding on a wet first base in a game that was in a monsoon after they delayed it twice.
So stupid.
That's the whole thing because it shouldn't – meaningless game even though it's August.
It's not a meaningless game, but
– sure it is. The Giants are out and the Washington Nationals are in already. That division's locked.
And I think Washington, you know, still is playing for home field advantage in the league division championship series and also Harper is, you know, he's an MVP candidate. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is, you know, you got to first cover the bases.
Mm-hmm.
You got to cover the bases. And there's been a lot of problems with the bases themselves. And I think they need to do something about the bases, either being the height of the bases or you see a lot of guys slipping on those bases.
You don't think that was a freak accident what happened
to
Harper?
No. I think it's too – if it was a one-time thing, yes. But look how many guys – get hurt. I mean, look what happened to Adam Eaton, you know, on the base. Now it's not the same type of
ACL
thing, but there's something with the bases. You know, that's why when you watch like good base runners, like a guy like Cespedes. Okay, say what you want.
Who doesn't run? You mean?
Well, watch. See, you don't watch the games. If you watch the way he runs,
no, I mean, he doesn't run out ground ball. That's what I meant.
But I'm talking about when you run. He's going from first to third. Watch the way he cuts the bases. I mean, Keith Hernandez points this out all the time. You know, a lot of guys don't do that very well.
No.
You know, cut the bases the way he does. And that's why he doesn't get hurt on those type of plays. He's just like out of shape, pulls a hammy, puts on too much weight. You know, that's a different issue. But the thing that happened with Harper and a lot of these other guys is that base is too high, it's too slick. And then after a rain, like, because they've had a lot of rain in Washington, okay? And I think there needs to be like an adjustment. I think next year there will be because baseball is just losing way too many guys to injuries. And the other dumb injury is the head first slide.
In the first.
First, second.
In the first.
Make a
difference. Yeah, well, a lot of guys do that in the first.
They do.
So
no
crazy.
But there's no need to do
no
it.
No need.
You know?
You don't gain an extra time by doing
no.
that.
No. And like when you play baseball, I mean, we all play sports. Like I was never told. We never did that.
No. Run through the base.
Run through the base.
That's exactly.
We got yelled at. One guy did slide head first in the first, and when he did, he ran fucking laps. A lot of them.
That's right.
That's crazy. So,
but that was always like a very good coaching tip. Run through the base.
Yeah, that's more. I think it's more for show. Running the second, third, trying to steal. Yeah, I'm with that, but. But not on a ground ball, a close bang-bang play at first.
But aside from the Harper injury, I think the last time we were here, a couple of weeks ago, we were getting all excited about the Yankees, and the Yankees make all these moves. And now, you know what? The Yankees are hanging on by fingernails to maybe even make the playoffs. And
what, not true.
True. And,
not true.
And what a fall from grace, Aaron Judge. From going to the face of baseball.
And what are we going to blame it on now? What are going to blame it on?
The uniform.
Home run derby. We'll get to that in a fucking second. Well, don't you write, don't believe
I think
that.
The home run derby really affected
him. Yes, it does. He's hitting 150 since that, and it's a proven fact that everyone fucks up after the home run derby, their swing goes to shit.
What happened to the guy in Los Angeles? It didn't affect him?
He's exception, not the rule. The guys who win are the ones who are the most affected. They have the most swings involved.
I think the aberration was the first half that Judge had. Judge is not that type of player. I mean, he's probably not as bad as we've seen, and he's not as good as what he was.
No.
He's going to fall somewhere in between that.
280.
But if you looked at him, even leading up to the All-Star break, he was still on pace for well over 200 strikeouts. He was a big strikeout guy last year.
He hit 190 last year.
Right. But we're not only talking about the 190, we're talking about a lot of the swings and misses.
His eye is off. He used to walk a lot in the first half. Now he's on either he's just missing the pitches or he's just swinging at dog shit, which I think is more likely number two.
His eye is way off. Let's go back to the Yankees maybe not making the playoffs. I mean, I think they are in almost crisis mode right now because, one, that was a brutal loss last night.
Chapman ain't okay. Rivera.
And the other thing, the thing with Chapman is he's a fastball pitcher, and I think he's lost a tick or two off that fastball.
But he was hitting 103 last night.
It's the difference.
As long as it moves, that's a question.
In the movement. The first time in
second home run he gave up to a lefty.
Exactly. Okay, so there's been a lot of these speed bumps along the way.
Well, let's look at the Yankees schedule since I'm right here. All right, we got the Mets for four. By the way,
Subway Series.
Yeah. I don't care. No Yankee fan cares about the Subway Series ever.
But you better sweep.
You better sweep? No.
You have to.
No.
After this week, why not?
You're saying the Yankees should expect a sweep?
They should absolutely.
No, three out of four. DeGrom.
That should be the goal here because now.
The goal is win every game, but I'd say three out of four.
Now they go into Boston and they're in big trouble.
They'll take three. They should take three out of four. Should take three out of four. I'll give them the DeGrom.
So look how the luster is off the apple or whatever the fuck that saying goes.
Luster is off the rose. Right. Shine is off the apple. Yes. You took two axioms and fucked them up. That's great.
Certainly did. But the point is. You have Sessa against Montero.
Yuck.
That's terrible. So that's a terrible opening game there. But I think the Yankees have to sweep the Mets to be relevant in the National
League. Three out of four. I need three out of four. You can't expect a sweep. I know the Mets are bad, but they're not. You have DeGrom.
No, but I think the Yankees have to up the game.
They do, but here's the problem. There's no rest in the schedule.
What happens if they go into Boston next week and
lose two out of three?
Yeah. They're done.
Then they have Detroit. I wouldn't say they're done. In the division, maybe. Two out of three.
They're done in the division. And look at the other teams that are starting to come on. The Yankees right now have their – what are they? Maybe one, two games? I don't have the standings.
They're 5-8 out of the last 13.
No. How many are they ahead?
Hold on. Let me get to the schedule first. We have four at the Mets, home and home. Three at Boston. Three at Detroit. Not exactly. We don't own Detroit. That's not a gimme game. Three home against Seattle. Not a gimme either.
That could be playoff implications right there.
Home.
Seattle. Doesn't make a difference.
No, I know. And Seattle, by the way.
And the only thing that you got going for you is maybe right now is Felix is out. Not that Felix was pitching great.
No.
But Paxton.
Out. Okay. That's big, too. Yeah. Then they have Cleveland at home for three. Then they have Boston again.
Yeah.
Tough.
Let me tell you,
especially the way right now Kluber and Salazar are pitching.
Yeah. They have Boston for three. Then they have at Baltimore, not exactly. It used to be Camden Yards used to be our home away from home. at Texas in September.
Baltimore has been on a nice little roll and got themselves right back in this wild card.
Yeah, here you go. And then at Texas for three. At Tampa, or as Francesa would say, Tamper for three. Four home against Baltimore. Three home against the Twins. At Toronto for three. A makeup game against KC. Three home Tamper again. And home against
Tamper.
Toronto. Yeah, it's not going to be an easy run.
And that's why I say they are in trouble in making the playoffs. And the thing
you were saying before, Yankees got the playoffs.
I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to win the division, but I mean, the bats have gone cold. I mean, do people ever come back from the DL? This year, it just seems like guys go on the DL and they're on this 10-day DL and they don't come back for like
Castro and Bird are supposed to come off and do rehab very, very soon. I'm happy about Castro, but Bird, I don't know. Anything you get at Bird, you're happy with.
You want either Bird or you want Holiday to solidify that lineup.
I think Holiday's cooked.
I hope not.
I mean, the last big hit he had was the game against Boston where he tied up in the ninth over the Monster and they went in the 16th.
But isn't the irony that everyone was concerned about the Yankee pitching, and it's really not the pitching that's gone?
It's the bullpen, too. The bullpen. Everyone says it's – I tell you why. And who said it? Was it fucking Francesa today? He's like, you can't assume with Chapman and maybe by time they go to committee because we have the weapons to do that.
I agree.
Otherwise, if we didn't have that bullpen we did, it could be just say, you know what? Well, fuck him. We got to eat it and pray for the best.
Well, that's where Girardi needs to do some managing and start playing by feel and not going by the book.
I mean, listen – Friday night, and I watched that game, when they had – he had nine pitches at one point, and one of them were for strikes. One of them was for a strike. How are you not – he had no one warming up. No one. Not Betances, no one. And everyone's like, why the fuck is there no one in the bullpen? Thank Christ that Eduardo Nunez made a dumbass play when he tagged up going to third on the sac fly that scored a run. So it was a two-out play. Hicks right through a fucking night, and then Frazier made a nice play to pick it and get the double play. But if Nunez doesn't make that dumb fucking run, they could be in trouble. They could have lost that game possibly.
Yeah, but I think that the problem has been the hitting. They're not scoring runs like the way they did.
No, offense has dried up.
And that has been a big problem. And then on the other side of town, you're looking at like what the Mets did, and it's just like clearing ship. And let me tell you something. They got a ton of money coming off the books. They better go out and still start spending money for next year. They have to fill third base, absolute, shore up the bullpen, and I think maybe get another outfielder. And then I think they still have a shot at contending.
The Yankees got your boy Addison Reed on Friday night, thank God. Otherwise, they were dead in the water.
Yeah.
And then Walker, too, got dealt. That's a big move.
It's not a big move. I mean, they don't need him. you know what they can do?
To the Brew Crew. Brew Crew's not out yet. They're still kind of lingering.
No, they're still around.
So I'm saying it's a big move for them.
Not a big move. And you know what it does is they had no one playing second base. They had the guy
Fernando. Vina. Villar. I had him in fantasy. He was shit.
He's done nothing.
He was like 210.
And then the other guy they had, who maybe started off the season well, Sogard.
Sogard.
Yeah. And he's when guys start playing too long, they get exposed, and you know he really went down. So Walker, it will give him like a professional player, but. You know, the Mets get back the player to be named later, and you're not expecting that to be anything big. But what it does,
RC is nice.
It frees up that position. So who are we going to look at for the next 8 weeks of the season at second base? Is it going to be Flores? TJ Rivera is hurt. What's his name? Reyes, and I think they bring back Reyes next year. I'd love to see him get Moustakas in the middle of that lineup. And like I said,
you're going to pay him.
You have to.
I mean, he's going to get it.
Yeah, but you have to. I think he's really because you're getting a guy who's coming into his own, who's in the prime of his career. That's who you kind of go after. That's what I would like to see with the Mets. So
it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees finish and how the Mets, all the young kids perform.
Yeah,
right. Well, that's all you have left for the Mets. In fact, I'm going to the game on Sunday.
Is that the Subway Series? Or no? When is that?
No, tonight's for four, so yeah, they're done by Thursday.
It's the Marlins. Get to see
Stanton murder. He's going to hit like eight home runs off you guys.
Yeah.
He's on a pitch. He already broke Sheffield's single season record at 41, 42.
I just want him to stay healthy. I love this guy.
I had him last year for fantasy. He's great when he's healthy. But he'll go through those periods where he mashes, 21 and 35 games?
Yeah.
But then he'll go like fucking 5 for 70 or whatever it is with 45 strikeouts. But then that's the way the power. Yeah, I know.
You know what I was looking at today? I was looking at the numbers of Jeff Bagwell. because he just got inducted to the Hall of Fame. You know,
steroids.
Phenomenal, though.
He is.
You know, you can say anything you want about steroids. Steroids doesn't give you the eye either to bat.
No. And, the average, you know, but the fucking power numbers.
He had just insane averages.
You know? He was great. I'm not arguing about him.
I guess I just don't remember him because, you know,
Houston sucked for so long.
But you also remember the last couple of years of someone's career, and it was down. But he was such a solid.
Well, they were the killer bees in Houston, Bagwell and Biggio.
It was Bagwell, Biggio, and Berkman.
Berkman, that's right. Wasn't he later, though? No, he was in the outfield, that's right.
He was with them because, in fact.
He played first later in his career, but he played outfield
in
first.
In my office, I got a signed picture of all three of them. It says the killer bees. I bought them all before they got into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
speaking of the Marlins real fast, Jeter getting the Marlins after all now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, they made it.
I thought Jordan was going for it, too.
He's part of the group.
Oh, I love it.
It's going to be great when one Yankee captain has to fire the other one.
That is what I said the minute I heard it. I said, please don't fire Donnie. That's going to fucking kill me.
He's a terrible manager.
Listen, he has nothing. He has no pitching to work with.
He had pitching in
Fernandez? LA. Okay, one guy.
No, in LA, Fernandez is dead.
I know that. He had him, I said.
Rest in peace.
Even when he was with the Dodgers, you know, he had pitching. He's not a good manager.
Donnie, don't fucking fire my guy. That's going to be the worst firing ever. The guy who – my favorite story about Mattingly and Jeter is when Jeter's first spring training, Mattingly and him were working out late, and Jeter starts to walk back when the day is over, and Mattingly goes, let's run back. You never know who's watching. And then Jeter took that to heart and told everyone else the same story to run and hustle. So there you go.
That's a great story.
Fuck you. It's Donnie Baseball. It's my guy.
Donnie Baseball.
Oh,
you're about to get fired.
I know.
Let's get a little football.
Oh, boy. Now, Amory, let's just, without saying sides here, she's going to know in 2 seconds. Who gives a shit? We were at a party yesterday. The great Vinny James had a party yesterday. Okay. We were hanging out. Love him.
Former guest on the show.
Absolutely. Jeff Paul had the audacity to say to me that Eli Manning is not a top 10 quarterback. Not in fantasy, just passing the eye test from week one. You know, just a regular watching him on Sunday's quarterback.
That's crazy.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
There you go. Make my point.
Okay, can I bring out the list of quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Let's go.
I thought that's by you or by what we look up online and stuff.
Let's look at the list of quarterbacks, okay? And tell me, if you're starting a team now, okay, right now, if you would take Eli over these guys, right?
Hold on, but Eli's 37 years old.
Are you talking about just in general?
No, we're talking right now.
Oh, for this year?
We're talking for this year. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers.
There's
Eli,
a lot of factors.
Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning.
His legs aren't what they used to be. Remember that, but
it's
still
not
Aaron
even
Rodgers.
Close.
Yeah.
No, I mean
Tom Brady, Eli Manning.
Okay, that's a dumb question.
Okay. Andrew Luck,
Eli Manning.
Manning. Thank you. Said that yesterday. Yep, right.
Drew Brees, Eli Manning.
Drew Brees is getting old.
He is old.
But
he's 40.
But Eli Manning isn't.
Wait, hold on.
No,
Drew Brees is 40. If we're talking about currently right now, you're not going to sign. If you're starting a team right now, he's a 40-year-old quarterback.
We're talking for 1 year, and we were talking for fantasy.
Drew Brees.
Okay. No. We were not saying. No. You did not say fantasy. You did not say fantasy. No, yesterday was arguments.
You
not fantasy.
We were because you said.
Wait.
That
then
you
a lot of other factors come into play.
No. Not for fantasy.
We're talking fantasy.
Week 1 through 16.
Okay, keep going.
Drew Brees over Eli Manning. It's Breeze. It's not even close.
No, it is.
No, that's a close one.
And it is Eli.
If you look at any.
Keep going. Okay. Keep going. I like this game.
Matt Ryan, Eli Manning.
No.
See, I can't. If you, I can't talk sports with either one of you guys because you talk about the fucking reigning MVP of the league. So not only regular.
No.
What has he done in the playoffs until sans last year? He shit the bit.
Okay, wait.
Eli's been around 10 years more than this guy. We're talking for this year, 2017.
Okay.
Who are you taking?
I can't talk sports with us. Calm down, Jeffrey Paul.
He gets angry when he's wrong.
Matt Ryan.
Thank you. Okay. So now we have named.
Doesn't have the heart.
We have named four guys better. Russell Wilson, Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson also has a great offensive line and a running back.
Does
this
it
is some.
Make
these
a
are
difference.
Sure, it does.
It doesn't make a difference. Russell, you would in a draft, you would take Russell Wilson over Eli Manning.
In fantasy,
they were the same age.
This is again. He's changing the fucking parameters as it goes. Yesterday was week 1 through 16.
Dude,
in
we're
fantasy,
for
I
this week no. for this year for 2017. These quarterbacks I'm naming. Everyone I named.
Okay.
You would take
probably
over Eli
like
Manning.
I would probably take.
No. I would not take everyone over.
Because you're a hardcore Giants fan.
I know.
I have
so
really
bias.
I'm trying.
If a week one through 16 team, I would take it. I look at it. It's a week one through six. Not fantasy. Fantasy is out the fucking window.
I'll give you a guy. Jameis Winston this year. Who are you taking over?
Jameis.
Of course you're taking him over Eli Manning.
But Kevin? We keep changing the rules.
Kevin?
In a current
but
sanity.
You can't compare Jameis Winston to Eli Manning because Winston's just going into his third year.
Right.
Eli's been around forever. So we're talking about 2017. Because I told you I don't want to shit on Eli because I like Eli. I think,
okay.
I think he's been good for New York sports. I think he's been good for the Giants. I think he's been good for
the
NFL.
Great for the Giants.
So I don't want to shit on him. But
he's
I'm talking
a great
for
quarterback.
2017. Okay. Of these quarterbacks, you're saying he's still a top 10 quarterback. He is not a top 10 quarterback.
He is a 7 through 10 quarterback.
We're not even done.
Yeah.
The young boys, Dak and Kirk.
No, you're Dak not. You're, no.
Roethlisberger.
Oh. I mean.
Same player.
Not the same player.
Eli, say, and here's the thing. Everyone
Derek
these guys.
Carr.
Oh, amazing.
Right. You're taking him over Eli.
Yeah.
Okay. Newton.
No.
Really?
First of all, his shoulder's fucked up already. And his body has taken a fucking beating rushing again. And he's had the Super Bowl hangover, and he's not been the same quarterback again. And also, there's one thing. Here's one other thing, too. Eli has not missed one game. Not missed one game in 14 fucking years. Every one of these players has missed one game, at least.
When was the last time he won a playoff game? And last year he gets into the playoffs. And also, if you looked at his last
those drops, no, don't even say that. The drops were fucking not on him.
Okay, so let's do away with that. Okay, let's subjectively do away with what you want to do away with, and look at the last six games that the Giants played last year when they didn't even score 20 points.
Okay. Because the offense, they have no running game. I'll say that's why. And the offensive line is questionable. That's why.
Everybody has questions in their offensive line.
But our offensive line is notably bad. Okay. It is notably.
So
and
is
no
Green
running
Bay's.
Game, huh?
So is Green Bay's.
They have a better running game than they do. And they have
no,
a better.
They don't.
Yeah, they do.
Ty Montgomery?
Is better. Had better.
Oh, my God.
Had better numbers than any fucking Giant running back. Let's look it up. Go ahead. Who was better than the Giant? Right.
He's a wide receiver.
That's how bad the Giant running game is. You're not listening to me. The Giant running game was fucking pathetic. Who was their number one guy?
Shit running backs.
Right! And that's what I'm saying. He had a better running game.
Both running games weren't good.
Ty Montgomery had a better year than any of the Giant running backs.
See, the thing is,
that is a fact.
Aaron Rodgers makes the running any team he's on, any running game that he's on, better.
I don't
because,
like him.
Because the reason, yeah, but here's the
he
reason.
Also has 10
I'm
seconds of protection too.
I'm just
he
kidding.
Doesn't.
Yes, they watch any fucking game. They'll call that when he runs around the pocket.
What teams have to do? They can't blitz and they have to stay base. And when you stay base, you're not getting any type of penetration. Okay, so that's what keeps him back. See, Eli is not a scrambler.
Not at all.
He's elusive. Okay, in the pocket.
I wouldn't even give him that.
I don't want him to scramble.
He's a statue. Me neither. My fucking asshole clinches right up every time he fucking runs.
He's better than my quarterback.
Do you have a quarterback?
No, it's up in the air.
Yeah, I don't know what you got. Okay. No, but would you take Marcus Mariota over Eli?
Injured too often.
No, I could tell you the close ones for me, I don't know why Drew Brees just – I don't know. Whatever.
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Kirk Cousins. Marcus Mariota.
No. Throws
maybe
games
like
in the...
four out of what all those.
Matt Stafford.
Eli Manning.
No, Matt
Eli Manning. Second most fourth quarter comebacks of all time. Never missed a game.
Clutch.
Thank you.
We are talking 2017, though. We are talking 2017.
Managing clock and yeah.
If it's on the board, okay, and you have a choice of Kirk Cousins or Eli Manning, who are you taking?
I'm taking Eli Manning.
Please make that pick next week.
I will take that pick.
And I will gladly take your money.
And while you're at it, read the stories. Taking a Cousins or fucking Manning is going to be that much of a difference. The answer is no. First of all, Kirk Cousins has no one to throw to. Terrell Pryor and Jordan Reed's always concussed. No running game. A shit offensive line. He lost Garcon. He lost to Sean Jackson fucking as well. Who else is on that team that's going to catch a ball? Answer that. Go.
Okay. Who did he have the
on
best?
On your team?
Who did
no,
he have the
on Skins. The Kirk Cousins.
Oh.
Who did he have the best chemistry with last year?
Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
You tell what? Fucking, you tell me.
I'm going to tell you, but I want to hear what you know.
When Jordan Reed was too banged up.
Because the guy is still on the team. And by the way, even when Jordan Reed went down, Vernon Davis stepped up and had a very good year last year. But I want you to tell me.
And who's always banged up, too.
Who did he have his best chemistry with? I'll tell you in 1 second. Guy's still on the team. Jamison Crowder.
Oh,
Jamison Crowder.
He's a third down receiver.
Well, he's not going to
be. Thank you for making the face, Amory. Thank you. Jamison Crowder is a.
Both you guys, don't pick Jamison Crowder, please. Let me take him as my.
Go ahead. Take him as your eighth pick. Go ahead. Eighth pick. Go ahead.
I can't wait for this draft.
Josh Doctson. Okay, another guy.
Who?
Josh Doctson. He was a rookie. He's going to come up and have a bigger year this year. Okay. They also signed Brian Quick for this year. I think.
Oh, good. Brian Quick has been a fucking amalgam of statistics, hasn't he?
He's a fourth receiver.
Okay.
He's a fourth
now let's talk about the giant receivers. You're going to tell me that.
But that's not what we're talking about.
But he has more weapons. He's going to have a better year. And Kirk Cousins, again, his offensive line is shit.
Do the Giants have a running game this year?
No, they don't. Okay. Do the fucking Redskins have a running game this year? No, they don't.
Do they have a better running game than the Giants?
It's debatable. It's debatable.
What giant running back is better than Robert Kelly?
Paul Perkins is the fucking de facto number one.
Okay, well,
Robert Kelly is okay. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Is he better than Robert Kelly? No.
No, they're both fucking the same. It's tomato with tomato. You've got three receivers in the Giants who are the best trio in the NFL. I'll repeat that. The Giants have the best. They have the best trio of receivers in the NFL. He's our number two, and Sterling Shepard's in the slot, and OBJ's number one. The Giants have the best trio in the NFL. TikTok, go ahead. Go ahead. Stall all you want to.
Are we going to say they're the best?
The best trio. If everyone stays healthy on paper, everyone's about the best trio.
I think the Raiders are coming in hot with a good little.
Cooper
and Mac.
Crabtree's two and three. Lewis Murphy? No.
I like Lewis Murphy.
Okay, he catches one touch or two touchdowns here. They don't have a you can't even name the third receiver. That's they're good. I'm not knocking them. I'll take the first two in a heartbeat. They are. They're going to be great, but they don't have a better trio than the Giants. That's my point.
Kirk Cousins, not better than Eli. I think you're putting too much into.
Thank you very much, Amory.
I'll give you another team that's going to have great receivers.
Who?
Tampa Bay.
Okay, way to go on a limb. We're all watching Hard Knocks. Yes, they have good receivers.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Hard Knocks. It has to do with they have great receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Hard Knocks.
All right.
Okay. But I think you're putting way too much into Marshall. Oh, another team.
A red zone threat,
like
something
Marshall.
We haven't had. Well, listen, on paper. Now,
he's
the
a
fucking,
little cuckoo.
That's my fucking next point. That's exactly
him
my
and
point.
Odell with the cuckoo.
That's exactly my next point. If these fucking two contaminate the locker room, we're fucked. That's my biggest concern as a Giant fan. Offensive line is a first. Cuckoo. That's a second one. Defense is insane.
What about Green Bay's receivers? Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb on the way out. Randall Cobb is on the decline.
Don't draft him, please.
I didn't say I weren't. I wasn't.
That's another guy.
But he's not what he was. Let's be fair. Jordy Nelson's always great. There's no denying that. Devontae Adams is pretty good too, but not better than those three.
And what about New England's receivers?
Okay,
Brandon Cooks.
One.
Okay, Julian Edelman. Two.
Okay, he's in a PPR league. That'd be fantastic, but.
Are we talking regular Schrager, football, or are we talking fancy? Because either way, I would take Julian Edelman on my team any day of the week. The guy
is a winner.
He is a winner.
And then the third,
who's never even gone to a playoff game. And the one playoff game that Beckham was in, you saw how big he came up.
Dropsies.
Let's not anoint,
their trio is better.
Beckham as the best player in football.
No one said that here. Now you're going to try and pull things out of your ass.
I'm not
never
trying pulling things out of my ass.
But never said.
But the thing is, you're sucking the Giant receivers' dicks.
That's the best trio in football. Or you can't argue
that. He's sucking their dicks. That's his team, man.
I'm also providing facts, so that's the best trio in the land.
Supposed to be a little objective when you're talking about this. And
yes,
I am. And the Eagles are who I hate. They're probably the second or third best receiving core in the league.
Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, and they just lost what's his name?
Matthews. That's why they got somebody else. Forgot they got rid of Matthews. Fuck.
So I mean, they have a rookie.
Aguilar, but he's been shit. I had him his first year. He's terrible.
And they cut the cord with the Beckham. I think also Pittsburgh always has good receivers.
Yeah.
With Brown.
If he stays off the fucking weed.
Yeah.
Martavis Bryant.
He's good. I don't know, man.
Who's the other guy that had last Pittsburgh? That guy I had him last year is pretty good. Not Wheaton. The other guy.
Who's the other guy? Another guy from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, not Brian. He was the number two last year.
Number two?
He was their number two.
What's going on back there?
I don't know.
You never know.
We all have fucking phones in front of us. Only one person has their phone in her hand. Yeah. Googling this there, but whatever. All right, I just thought we could just do it at the top of our head. We will see about the draft next, but it's gonna be interesting. But yeah, we all.
Oh my God, it's gonna be crazy.
David Johnson won or flip flop him with Bell, either or tomato tomato. We'll see what happens.
Let's talk a little fantasy for a second.
All right.
Okay, since we're all in this league, and if you were to have,
I can't wait.
Neither can I. This is going to be
It's
fun.
My favorite time of year.
Me too.
It's the most it's my happy wonderful time of the
it's
year.
It's all I've...
Now, if you have...
I hate drafting this early, though, by the way. This is killing me.
If you have to...
Because we're going to get fucked with injuries.
It's the day on the eclipse.
Is it really? So we'll go outside from the strip club and watch the eclipse.
Oh, we're going to... Oh, yeah, that's where it is. I forgot.
Who are you taking if you're going...
Oh, my gosh.
In the first... Let's say... The top
Tom Brady. The
do it. Madden curse. Do it.
The consensus
you hope so.
I fucking do.
Aaron.
The consensus top five picks here are going to be David Johnson, right?
Yeah, the running back, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Not a Zeke.
Julio Jones.
Yep.
Beckham.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Where do you go from six on? Where do you go six on?
Maybe a tight end.
Okay, go ahead. Love for you to take a tight end.
Which tight end?
The only one that probably scored points, Rob.
Kyle Rudolph?
No. Yeah, Kyle Rudolph.
Hey-o.
I did take him 1 year. Just
he is considered a
he's a bye week replacement.
Yeah, but I don't have a quarterback.
Well,
you
don't have a quarterback.
It's so unpredictable. It's
good in PPR leagues and even touchdown leagues because he's a big red zone guy.
I love him.
Who's that red zone guy?
Well,
they don't get in the red zone. This is not a problem for her to worry about.
I know. You're just making me sad.
But they're going to get score touchdowns when they...
No, our main weapons are Stephon Diggs and... Okay. You don't like Stephon Diggs?
And Adam Thielen. No.
I love Adam Thielen.
Yeah, I mean, Stephon Diggs did this.
Minnesota homeland boy. Yeah.
See, I play like, you know, this league here...
Charles Johnson, I like him a lot, too.
...is going to be easier for me because I usually play in much deeper leagues where it's two quarterbacks, three receivers...
Oh, yeah. What's ours? Did we go over this today?
No.
Yeah.
I've been on Keegan's ass about coming up with the scoring system because this is rough.
I do two tight ends, two defenses.
Oh.
Three offensive lines. Four punters.
So it's a super deep league.
That's what we're doing?
No. The one we do is this one's going
to
be simple.
How many rounds is the next question we need to figure out, too?
It'll probably be 16, I'm imagining.
Well, geez.
I do 28 round drafts.
Oh my God! So fucking, I'd kill myself.
It's a long
28.
Dude, mine is 17. People go, dude, are you done yet? 17. Nah, your answer is this: Mike Evans, Jordy Nelson, AJ Green,
in
any order
who you would take.
Oh,
all those are gone. You said right. Let's one more time: Johnson, Bell, Brown, Jones, Beckham.
If you're the sixth pick, that's what you're saying.
Now, if you're going to be six through,
I have my answer.
12,
I thought you were talking about your sixth.
Where you going?
Your sixth.
Six through
choice.
12.
You have the sixth overall.
Oh, I misunderstood the question.
There. If you're six,
I have my answer.
Where you going, Nate?
Can you say one more time who's taken?
Brown, Jones, Beckham, David Johnson, Bell,
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Quarterback.
I'd love to take that spot then.
Yeah, that's good.
Falls on to me then. I'm going to take Mike Evans.
Yeah, that's who I'm going with.
All right, there you go. I love that he's going to have it. That so much pressure is going to be taken off of him with what's his fuck face as the number two there. It's going to be huge for him.
Deshaun.
He's a piece of shit. Yeah. Not a fan. But I go with Evans at six.
Yeah, that seems to be the pick. Right. The only other thing I would consider taking, the other player would be LeSean McCoy because it is a really, really thin running back draft.
Gets banged up a lot.
He's also
no airing. I know that, but no running game.
Guy. Dalvin Cook, man.
There you go.
Sleeper. That's a
one
sleeper
of.
Guy.
For real, though.
For real.
Do you feel
real
comfortable taking Melvin Gordon?
When?
Top 10.
I had him his first year. I'm very sour from that, but the last year he had fucking was a plethora of scoring.
Isn't Freeman the highest paid player now?
He is.
You know, he just got
who could be your boy? Imagine you had 12 and you had Freeman. What are you looking at?
Were you taking Elliott?
Fuck.
I have my answer. You have yours?
Never.
Yeah, I have mine.
You sleep him?
I know where I'm going to take him.
I take him in the sixth round.
He's not going to be there.
Okay.
You keep waiting.
Do you really think they're going to, like...
No.
He's not going to be suspended the first six games?
Hold on. This is the problem, though. If the six holds up, which I don't know when the appeal process is going to finish, that's going to change. Obviously, it's going to jack up. If he gets three, then it's going to go... If he gets cut to three, let's play with three as the number. If he gets cut to three, he goes late second, early third.
Really?
I think no.
You think so?
I think no matter what.
If he gets cut to three, it's late two, early three.
I think no matter what, he will not be there in the fourth round.
Well, like I said, early two, three.
So I think.
No, and we have a Cowboy fan in this draft too, which you know. But even he may jump on him.
But even if it's a six game suspension. He still will be picked up before
the fifth.
Yes, he will not make
as
it
your
before
number
that.
One. What
you do is you just get the handcuff.
I gotta fucking. I haven't done my work yet. I don't even know who the fucking backup is yet. It's Dunbar, right?
They have Morris. Alfred Morris,
right?
Alfred Morris not gonna play.
The other one from McFadden. Yeah, they
who's
like a
always
bunch of
injured. He's always McFadden.
I'm saying they have running backs,
well,
though.
The year before they got Zeke, you know, he was a 1,000-yard rusher. He had a very good year behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
Well, they have a very nice line.
They lost. No, they're not anymore. They don't. They lost with two or three guys on that offensive line.
That sucks.
They've gone down a tick.
Vegas says so. In fact, Vegas, when they announced that, I called my bookie immediately and go, "What's the fucking under?" Guy goes, "Vegas froze all action. They froze all action."
Dude, that's crazy.
It was 9.5.
They had the best offensive line in the league.
Not anymore.
Last year
they did.
You know what? It really offensive lines and really football changes from year to year. Remember a couple of years ago, the Giants had like one of the worst defenses, almost a historically bad defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, it was shit. You know, and
2 years ago, and then they went out and they fucking bought everybody, and they drafted Landon Collins.
Remember the game that kind of like exemplified that? Was that New Orleans game?
Oh my god!
And I had just traded for Breeze.
Oh my god!
The other week, I had Breeze
50-40 fucking eight or whatever that was.
I had Breeze and Eli.
You're right there, Marie.
We whooped your ass that year too.
You whip our ass every year. You own us. That is every year they play Minnesota.
Not true.
That is. Oh, except for this NFC Championship. Bang! But that was fucking 2000. Every year, recently, under Eli's years, I can circle them whenever they play Minnesota and go, that's Eli's 3 or 4 pick game without a question. I can find
good
the one you. Yeah.
Well, our defense.
He has one bad. He has one meltdown game a year.
Our defense
one.
Is nasty, though. Like, we're a good defense, yeah.
He's going to have that meltdown. I got to figure out the schedule, what the fucking his meltdown game is going to be. But you can always circle one and go, that's. I know it's coming.
All right, now let's go to my team. Let's talk a little my team.
Yeah. This is going to be a 30-second conversation.
You still have a team?
Yeah.
Just kidding, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I can't talk.
Who has more wins, the Vikings or the Jets this year?
Vikings.
I would like to bet
like
you
guys
on the under and over on the Jets. What are you
4.5 is the over-under.
What are you doing?
I'm going. The money line is -200, so that's going to be a lot to fucking swallow to take it. But if I wasn't getting a stiff money line, if someone says I'll just bet the over-under is 4.5, no money line, I would take the over big time. Under. The under big time.
Me too, under. But who's starting your quarterback?
McNown.
Okay.
And Hackenberg is backing him up. This is the thing with the Jets. I think the Jets is this year is really going to be.
I feel bad for them.
You shouldn't. And here's the reason why.
Okay? No, I do.
You shouldn't. Because, the Jets secondary is incredibly improved.
I thought last year your defense.
Is Revis still going to try and play out there or did they put him in the nickel?
He's not on the team.
I forgot. There you go.
He's not even on the team anymore. They drafted the two safeties. Okay. They still have Skrines. Okay. And they still have a very good front seven. Leonard Williams, Muhammad Wilkinson, Richardson. And Richardson playing for a contract. All right. So I really kind of like. You know, their front line, they're going to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I can see the Jets losing a lot of games where they're giving up maybe, you know, a late touchdown, so they'll give up 21, 24 points, score maybe 3 to 10 points a game because they're not good offensively. But, okay, look
but
for
defensively.
The but the thing is what they're going to have next year is a ton of cap room. Ton of cap room.
They'll fuck it up.
No, they won't. And they're gonna have a ton of cap room, and they're going to be able to start signing – free agents in their prime, not in their 30s, but like legit guys.
Who's out
and
there?
Start to see the Jets start to make the next move. We could talk about that in a year from now. Okay.
I just want to know your eye set on. But.
All right. But I think the main guy they're going to have their eye on is Cousins, you know, if you have to know, because they need a quarterback desperately. And
you're going to be paying him $25 million a year, though?
Yeah, yes. You guys need a quarterback.
They're going to have $70 million in cap room next
year. What about Kaepernick?
I think they should have signed him.
I don't know.
I think they should have also signed Cutler.
Ugh. That guy has no heart.
He wasn't exactly. He wasn't going to play. It wasn't for the perfect situation.
Shoot me in the face, Cutler.
They never had the meeting.
What?
They never had the meeting.
That guy doesn't care about football.
They did?
He wanted to have the meeting with the Jets. The Jets never set up the meeting with him.
I'm going to go Woody. Enjoy being the emissary to England, is it?
I think he's happy with, you know, with that guy. I think, listen, you can't take a second round. I hated the pick when it happened. But you can't take a waste of second round pick and never give the kid a chance to play. I watched the preseason game.
Wait, are we talking about small Cutler? You jumped to the second round pick for who? Who are we talking now?
The Jets.
Okay.
Okay. This is the reason why they didn't sign Cutler. Okay. They wanted to just get a guy who's going to hold his hand for a little bit. McNown is a very good teacher.
He's serviceable, yeah.
It's not on the field. We just talk about, like, you know, a guy who's going to, like, be a good mentor to him, okay? And you're going to see what you have with Hackenberg. Regardless of what happens, they are going to have to play this kid. You wasted a second-round pick and see what you have in him. If you notice, in the first preseason game, he played a lot. And he was, like, mistake-free. But what they do, and, you know, it's kind of like what – who was it? Schottenheimer. What Brian Schottenheimer did when he had Sanchez. You don't go deep. Everything underneath. And the Jets are also now playing more of a West Coast offense, which, you know, it's a lot of those slashing and cutting and you know,
6-5 yard dump offs, yeah,
eight yard, you know, crossing patterns. So I think the Jets are going to, they could surprise you a little bit. Their offensive line isn't terrible. You know, McNown keep you in a game. You know,
will he?
Yeah, I think he will. If he can stay healthy, yeah, I think he'll keep you in a game. So I think the Jets could win, you know, between, you know, Vegas has it right, about 4 to 5 games. Yeah. I think they lose a lot of those games because
5-11.
They're just not very good, but by the eye test, they're going to be competitive. Okay? And if you watch from the first game, you know, the penalties that they had were all those type of effort penalties. You know, when you're holding a guy on a block because you want to make a play as opposed to, like, you know, jumping off sides, you know, when you're not into the game. Yeah.
I don't know. I think 4.5. I think it's an under. I do. I just don't. I mean, you have a shit division. I mean, actually, Miami's okay. I think Cutler can be, what, 8-8? He made the playoffs last year. They pretty much have the same team.
Miami's
the
decent.
Pats are the Pats.
Miami got talent, though, man. You know, they got Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, Miami's good.
And,
I mean, they're
Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, they just picked up Julius Thomas. Who?
Oh my God, he got out of Jacksonville, huh?
Right, but before you shit on it, remember who did he have? Who did he have his best year playing under?
Denver.
And who was the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I get it.
Who was the offensive coordinator?
It was what's his tits? Fucking Gase.
Gase.
Yeah,
and he's the head coach, yeah. Which is why he has Cutler and why he brought in Thomas. So I think that these guys kind of like bounce back.
Well, I hope they get Tannehill back, not for your sake, but
I hate Miami.
I bet you do. You should. It's your division.
I hate Miami. I hate New England. I hate Buffalo.
You should.
I hate everyone who's in my way.
You better hope the Patriots, if you do take the over, you better hope the Patriots play you like week 16 or 17 when the game is
well,
already.
They play the last game.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Now you have a chance. I look at your schedule, but your division.
Don't have a chance.
Everyone who's in their way.
No.
Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo. Everyone's saying Tyrod Taylor's going to have a
Buffalo.
Bounce. What's that?
I believe they open with Buffalo, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. We shall see. I don't have much faith in your team, but neither do you, nor should you. It's going to be a rough go.
I think it's going to be a tough year, but it's going to be an interesting year to watch, and I want to see what next year brings. What I want to see under this team, I want to see certain guys kind of like grow. I want to see Darren Lee grow. I want to see these two safeties. I want to see especially the kid Adams because he has stud written all over him. I want to see
a quarterback. I just like to see you guys have a quarterback.
I don't have the faith in Hackenberg. I think the quarterback.
Petty's he still there or no?
Yeah, he is, but he's
buried.
We know what he is.
But
the thing is, you wasted.
You're that Richard Petty.
But he's a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
It's okay. If Hackenberg was a fifth round pick, I'm cool with it. But when you're a second round pick, that guy's got to play.
Yeah. All right, that's our fucking breakdown on fantasy. Find out, actually, next week. I will talk more fantasy next week, but let's get to the films here. Jeffrey Paul, this is long overdue. We both made an effort to go see the film Dunkirk.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah,
this is about a month late in a fucking review. We also did a little bit of radio silence when it came to you and I discussing it. What were your thoughts on Dunkirk?
All right.
Did you see it, Amory, by the way?
No, but okay. I hear a lot about it, so I'm intrigued to hear what you have to say.
It's not Saving Private Ryan.
Nothing is.
It's filmed beautifully. It's a great. It's a very, you know, the cinematography on it is good.
It's great.
The story is weak, lacking big time. There's a lot that he could have covered.
Which, by the way, is funny because it's an only an hour. It's an hour and 50 minute film.
Yeah, that could.
Which most war films are 2.5.
Exactly. Now there's a lot that wasn't explained and wasn't even referenced to. Like, for instance, why weren't the Nazis on the beach? Where was Hitler? And you know, at this time, and you know, that stuff could have been explained a little bit better. I wish we talked about this last week because it was still fresh in my mind. Because
someone had a family emergency.
Yeah. I thought it was good. You know, I like when movies, you know, war movies are more like true to life and get you in, because you know you did feel
true to life. Were you at the fucking down there in the World War II? You know, in the trenches.
I mean, like Saving Private Ryan. You felt that when they are coming on Omaha Beach and you're
watching, Normandy, Omaha, then, different one.
No, that's where they were coming.
Beach is Normandy.
No, but the beach that they stormed, it was in Normandy, but the beach was Omaha Beach.
Okay. All right. Okay? It's Normandy. That's how I just refer. Okay. Continue.
That's the town.
All right.
Okay. So when they're coming on the beach on Omaha Beach, like, you are feeling it. You're in the action. I mean, just the way Spielberg filmed that was just like off the charts. I feel like there were elements of that in Dunkirk, and I don't want to give too much away because Anne Marie's sitting here.
No, don't worry about
the scene in the ship where they're in the water.
Yeah.
Okay,
I thought that was fine. That was really, really good. Also, just like,
I mean, I'm sorry, there are two scenes with the water. Like, I'm talking about the one with the French guy.
Yeah, I know.
The Dutch guy. No, he's French. He was French. Yeah. There's a Dutch guy later before that.
He was French. And Harry Styles, who surprised the shit out of me.
Me too.
Okay, I was not expecting him to play that character and play that character as well as he did.
Well, there wasn't much to it, but okay. And
well, there's not a lot of dialogue in the movie.
Right. Okay. Now you've said your piece, I'll say mine. Shockingly enough, I agree with you. I thought this film was way overblown.
Story-wise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, and Christopher Nolan, by the way, as I said before, best director in the last 25 years. People also said on the webpage. No, this one missed it. Yes, it did.
Who said it?
I think go on the fucking find out. We'll scroll while you're looking.
No one said it.
One person said it. I was right or wrong.
It wasn't.
Yes,
someone said it to you in an offhanded
it's
comment.
On the fucking thing. Okay. And it says, no, Kevin is right. No one is the best director. Better than Scorsese than the last 25 years.
Absolutely.
Who is a better director in the last 25 years? Christopher Nolan?
Eli Manning.
Goddamn right. You're getting me hard. Or Martin Scorsese? In the last 25 – sorry. I said 25. It's 20 years, we said. 20 years.
Scorsese?
Wolf of Wall Street.
That's one film he did. Christopher Nolan did the Batman trilogy.
And Goodfellas.
No, Goodfellas was 27 years ago. It was 1990. It's out.
And Goodfellas.
Not part of the parameters. Not part of the parameters. Wolf of Wall Street, and he did fucking Hugo.
And Goodfellas.
No.
Christopher Nolan did it. It's based
off Goodfellas, obviously.
But you can't, because Goodfellas was not in the 20-year...
Thank you.
20-year time frame was not part of it.
Go on now with
Wrong.
Dunkirk.
20-year time frame is not the Scorsese stuff. You're just basing that solely on that.
How do you say shit like Scorsese sucks?
I didn't say he sucks. I said in the last 20 years, which was the basis of the fucking argument, the whole point. Of course Scorsese's a better director of all time. But in the last 20 years... Fucking Scorsese has made, what, 2-3 films? Nolan has made, first of all, Wolf of Wall Street was good. Was very good. I liked it a lot.
And just like...
Dark Knight Trilogy, Prestige, better. Insomnia.
Eli may have had the better career to this point than Matt Ryan. You'd still take Matt Ryan over him in the ship. But go on.
The film was good, but I give it a 5.5 out of 10 as I wrote it up. And here's why. As you had said, the story... I wanted a story. There wasn't a story. Now, I talked to Ryan Hoffman about this, who made a good point. He goes, look, this is a fucking war film. You're not going to get to know people. And, you know, you're in war. People are shooting at you.
Yeah, you did in Platoon and Private Ryan.
Which was my point, I said. And then he goes, well, hold on. You got Spielberg loves, you know, had Tom Hanks talk about being a teacher in the first 20 minutes. I said, no, he did not. The first 20 minutes, they're getting their fucking asses shot off. And the only guy who had substantial screen time is Barry Pepper, who fucking shot down the gunners. So that argument I tossed up. But I like this one point about, hey, it's war. You're not going to get to know people. But that was a big problem with me, not knowing any of the characters. The first time I felt the people I felt the most emotion for, Harry Styles, his brother and the fucking dad in the boat. You got to know a little bit about them. The other people,
really, Harry Styles' brother, who's
the kid who his brother, the kid, the black haired kid, and the dad on the boat.
Yeah.
The ones who fucking went back, who went into Dunkirk. They're like,
yeah.
That's a family like that. That's who you felt the most for. You're right. The dogfighting scenes, amazing. The cinematography, fantastic. Nolan is has the best cinema. I think he does his own stuff, but if he doesn't, he hires. It was shot so beautifully. Even that piece of shit Interstellar was shot beautifully. Hans Zimmer had a fantastic score. Again, you felt it with the music. The man is a master. I even saw him at a concert a few weeks ago.
I like scenes where, like, when you see the beach and it widens.
Right.
You just see how much 300,000, what was it, 30,000? 30,000.
Yeah.
Soldiers just waiting for boats.
Just waiting
for boats to get out. And like, that grips you because it's like, what if these boats don't come? What happens to these guys? You know?
Right.
That to me, you know, you don't have to say anything. And I think that picture tells that story.
That was good. But as you, again, it wasn't an hour and 50 some minutes. I looked at my watch four times. Four times, an hour and 50. That's bad. This film dragged. It should not be dragging for a war film. And first of all, a lot of these main characters, Kenneth Branagh, who cares? There was nothing about him. You're like, eh. Tom Hardy, the pilot, you didn't fucking give a shit about. You're like, eh, whatever. Cillian Murphy, the guy they pulled off on the Harry Styles boat. You're like, eh. These are the guys who are the mainstays in Nolan films, and none of these characters you felt anything for. No attachment. Again, I liked it. I think the critics were very quick to blow Nolan for this film. Yeah. I was not thrilled by any stretch.
Historically, I don't know if it's really a major event of World War II.
I'm going to ask my buddy who teaches AP history because he asked me if I saw it. I said, yeah. And I'm waiting for him to see it before he gives his – because the guy is a stone-cold genius when it comes to shit. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about the significance of that when he sees it.
Yeah, ask him what he thinks.
I will.
And ask him, you know, how they could kind of like – have the omission of not even explaining why the Nazis weren't on the beach at
right.
the time.
Right.
As well.
And you said the bombing here and there, but yeah, I agree with you. I was not crazy about this film by any stretch. But listen, let's get to the game here because we only have a few more minutes left, unfortunately. All right, let's review.
This hour went by extremely
fast. But
I did see
Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron. I snuck into that. That was pretty good, actually. Give that a look. Pretty good story. Cool 80s soundtrack as well in there as well.
And she plays like a badass, right?
She's pretty good. Yeah, it's more than an ass-kicking film. There's a lot more story than people. Everyone's comparing to like a John Wick-ish film.
I just keep seeing her train and all this.
Yeah, the same guy did John Wick train her. That's why.
That's why
she's topless in a few scenes too.
Oh, really?
Looking small, but they're perky. And she, by the way, Charlize Theron never gets in the top 10, but damn, is she a stunner, right? Fight me on that. All right, let's go. We got a few weeks ago
she's
here.
She's the Eli Manning of actresses.
Well, here's what we have: Atomic Blonde.
Okay.
Emoji Movie.
Right.
Some Gunslinger.
The Dark Tower. It's okay. The Dark Tower. And Detroit.
Detroit and Kidnap.
Right. Okay. Uh-huh. Here we go. Dark Tower.
Gunslinger?
It's the Gunslinger, but yeah, it's called the Dark Tower. The film everyone talked about before the summer came out, and when the reviews came out, they were not kind, not by any stretch. The budget being $60 million. Jeffrey Paul, what did we think?
All right. You went high on this. Who's our guest last couple weeks ago? We had
Cerulli. Jeff Cerulli.
Right. Oh, I love Cerulli. Jeff.
Okay. Yeah.
So you had 48.
Oh, boy.
Cerulli had 32.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this wouldn't be as good as both of you guys. I went 25.
19.5. Colossal bomb.
I guess
colossal bomb win. Kidnap stalling Halle Berry.
We all thought this would be dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
Cerulli, we were all very, very close. Cerulli thought 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
I went 6, which you wanted to say, but then you said, I'll Price is Right you, and you went 5.
10.2. Cerulli takes it.
Cerulli takes it.
Shocker. What, Cerulli?
Atomic Blonde.
But we were all right that this was going to be a bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Atomic Blonde is the aforementioned one with Charlize Theron. The reviews were good, but the public opening weekend, but it's actually made its money back now, so that's good.
You had the most faith in it.
Okay, what'd I say?
At 30. Cerulli went 25. I didn't think the public would buy into it at the beginning. I went 17.
18.2. Pretty good,
ooh,
Jeff.
Very good.
Budget of $30 million. It's made his money back, so there might be a sequel. You never know. The Emoji Film, a colossal piece of shit.
Well, you had the most faith in this one as well, and by a lot. You went 29.
Uh-huh.
Jeff kind of went in the middle. He went 17. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be a flop. I went 12.
24.5.
I will give that.
That's me.
You're off to Schneid.
Last one is Detroit, the story of the riots in Detroit in the 60s, budget $34 million. All right. Actual retail price is, I'm sorry, I dropped the gun. Jeffrey Paul, what'd you have?
Okay, well, Cerulli thought, you know, me and him, well, I'm very close on this. He went 19, I went 18. You thought this would be a bomb at 12.
7.7.
Ooh.
I was right.
Now, is this, did this get... Did this open into a lot of theaters?
I don't remember hearing about this movie.
They called it wide release on Box Office Mojo, which is where I get it. They did put it in more theaters this second week, but it said wide release.
So, because I thought critically, it got pretty good.
It did get good reviews. Yeah. As Kidnapped was getting a lot of publicly good reviews, but Detroit, yeah, it wasn't as big, but it said wide release, so I said I'm going with it then. Yeah. So the following week, I mean, we didn't do it for last week, but Annabelle, the horror film...
I don't like horror movies.
Just because of time.
Oh, we'll just cut to the chase.
Let's get to the...
We've got, oh boy, we're coming to the end of the summer, so you know what that means. The shit's going to get schlepped out. A little alliteration there for you. The Hitman's Bodyguard with Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is a hitman who protects Samuel Jackson, another hitman, to be escorted to an international court of justice. But, of course, other hitmen are out to take Samuel L. Jackson. And, of course, Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson had a rivalry throughout their career, so it's ironic that he has to watch him now. What do you think, Jeffrey Paul? The Hitman's Bodyguard. What do you think?
The story sounds awful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Could be.
But good star power, man. You know, Ryan Reynolds.
He's made some stinkers before, though.
I know, but he I don't think his career's ever been...
C-R-I-P-D.
Yeah, but I don't think his career's ever been as hot as it is now. I think based on his IQ and everything, I'm going to say this is opening to 24.
Mm-hmm. A. Marie Castillo, the lovely... The SoulCycle queen herself.
The SoulCycle queen. I'm going to go 30.
Interesting. I have 15.
I'm
going to
go high on this one.
Okay. I'm going to go. Second up, Logan's Lucky. Steven Soderbergh is back. And this is, you went to about star
what's
power,
it,
Jeffrey Paul.
Logan Lucky.
Daniel Craig, Seth MacFarlane, Adam Driver, a.k.a. Kylo Ren from Star Wars. Channing Tatum.
Ooh.
So a story about a bunch of hillbillies robbing a NASCAR track.
Is Channing Tatum shirtless in this movie?
I don't know, Jeffrey Paul.
Well, if it is, then Anne-Marie alone will be there for 24.
Get her a mop and bucket.
Mop and a bucket.
Anne-Marie Castillo, what do you think Logan Lucky's going to make? A lot of stars. Steven Soderbergh. Reviews, by the way. I did note that so far in my research.
I'll go 25.
25. Jeffrey Paul, this actually looks good. Or does it? Good enough for people to pony up and see?
Wide release?
Yeah, of course. We don't do indies.
Okay,
I love indies.
I'm gonna go 24 again.
He just $1'd you.
Yeah.
I have 28 million. I'm gonna go a little bit higher than you guys.
We're somewhat in the ballpark. Though.
That's right. Okay, coming up. Wow, this is where the shit really, metaphorically, shit hits the fan. Pathetic. Next film coming up is All Saints. All right, what's it about? Well, I had to really do a lot of research and find out that Patrick Johnson. I know, it's wide release. It comes out.
Wide release.
Patrick Johnson, and secondly, John Corbett. So that tells you what kind of star power. John Corbett.
John Corbett.
Yeah.
From My Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes. Well, I'm glad you knew that. I'm glad you're in touch with the feminine side.
Still around?
Well, apparently so. Well, All Saints is a story of this is great. Someone leaves their corporate job to become a pastor, and his first assignment is to close the church and sell the land. But the church begins to accept refugees from Burma.
That sounds so good.
Interesting. It's a real heart fucking tearjerker.
I can't wait to see it.
Okay, Jeffrey Paul, okay, Smarty Pants, what number you got for me?
I hope no one sees this movie. I'm going to say 9.
$9 million
a franchise.
I have 4. I have no faith in this.
Wow.
No one's going to see this. No one's going to care. This is the week. Lastly for the week, an animated film. I think it's DreamWorks. Elle Fanning, Mel Brooks, and Kate McKinnon are the stars behind the voices in a film about a girl who wants to go to Paris and just be a dancer. Budget $30 million. The film is called Leap.
No.
It's DreamWorks?
Yeah. I believe it. It's animated. I don't know. I think it's DreamWorks.
Hey,
but
it's summertime. Kids need something to do.
They need something to do.
But they're releasing it on August 25th. How good is it if it's that good?
I mean, the week before you get right back for school.
I will tell you that the nut.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Well, not a, my nephew and niece are they're in school right now. They're in Denver.
If you're in Florida. Florida.
Well, yeah, where I grew up, you start school early.
Yeah, still.
Who's going first?
You.
You.
Let's go. I'm going to go 20 million.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's going to open at 17.
I have 12. There's been no advertisement, and there's a complete, I don't give a shit factor about this. Let's wrap it up. Let's talk. Amarillo Castillo, where can we find you besides Atlantic City Comedy Club?
Oh, well, I'm going to be there Tuesday through Thursday. Friday, I'm at Stand Up New York. Saturday, I'm at the Parkside Inn with Mike Keegan and Jack Simmons. Sunday, I'm here for Sunday Night Live with Jamie Roberts. And then Monday, I'm having a charity show here and then running to our football draft.
Yeah, you are. Jeffrey Paul, where can we find you?
Yeah, I'll be down at Atlantic City tomorrow night with you.
Oh, yay!
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
And then over the weekend, I am down in Ocean City, Maryland at the Princess Royal.
Oh, I drove by that place for my brother's bachelor party. Yeah. Sounds fun. I will be on a podcast that's actually tonight over Stacey Prussman, and then I'm doing another podcast tomorrow, John Galbo's, and then I have to watch my kid because my wife's going away for a few days, so I will be going nowhere this weekend. Fantasy draft on next Monday and Wednesday, and
no, we should really like almost think about broadcasting from there.
No, Gerard wants to do it. Gerard Heron.
Can we do a Facebook Live?
He wants to like film it and stuff.
Yeah, we should.
Then it's going to be too much. It's going to be hilarious banter.
But do you think? I mean, we could do that. I don't give a shit. And then the next big day, I can't wait to do it again, is the Dirty at 12:30 at the Southport Casino in Las Vegas, September 8th.
Think about who
a day before my birthday.
But think I'll be in Vegas for your birthday.
I know. I want.
Think about who we have at this draft: Richie Byrne, Keegan, Lawrence DeLoach,
Gerard
Heron, Kenny
Warren.
I mean, just so many.
This
funny
is just like the lineup.
The who's who of no one of a New York Comedy Club.
Yes,
New York Comedy, I should say. But you know, you mentioned a lot of names who happen to be part of that fantastic show that's going to be on Amazon in the very, very near future. Comics Watching Comics. That's right, kids.
Oh, I can't
season
wait to
five.
See it.
Yeah. Your buddy Gino Bisconti is on season 5. He's a panelist.
What am I, season 6?
You're season 6. I'm editing your season right now.
Oh, yeah, Scoop.
What am I, season 6?
What?
What am I, season 6?
No, I want to know. I can't remember if I was 5 or 6.
You're 6.
We filmed all in one day.
Yep. You're season 6.
Oh, with Scoop.
Yep. Comics Watching Comics on Amazon very, very soon. And the announcement for the big live show coming even sooner. ComicsWatchingComics.com. Check it out. Kevin Goatee at Kevin Goatee on Twitter. Check us out then, guys. We'll be back here again next week for another podcast, Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. That's Jeffrey Paul. That's Amor Castillo. I'm Kevin Goatee. See you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.